The Title and Escrow Commission meeting, today's March 8th, 2021. And before we officially get started, I'm going to read a notice for the anchor location determination. Continuing on because of the current pandemic, in accordance with Utah Code 2-4-2074, as chair of the Title and Escrow Commission, I, Chase Phillips, have determined that holding a meeting at an anchor location presents a substantial risk to the health and safety of those who may be present at the anchor location due to the current COVID-19 pandemic. And pursuant to Utah Code 52-4-2075, this determination is valid for 30 days from the date of this determination, which was the 4th day of March, 2021. And so we are all calling in meeting online again. I do think from some of the press releases that I'm seeing that sounds like we may be able to get back together in person in the coming months. I'm hopeful that will happen. And with that, we will run through the roll call of the Title and Escrow Commission, the department staff, and then we'll have the public tell us who's on the line with us this morning. So we'll start off with Nancy Franson. Nancy, are you with us this morning?
Good morning, Chase.
Morning. Randy Smart.
I'm here.
Morning, Randy. Darla Milovich.
Good morning, I'm here.
Morning, Darla. Allison McCoy.
I'm here.
Morning. And Perry Babilis.
Hello, I'm here.
Morning, Perry. With the department, do we have the commission with us? Is John Pike here?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Welcome. Reed Stringham.
Yep, here.
Tracy Klausmeier.
Here.
Randy Overstreet. Danny Schoenfeld.
Present.
Adam Martin.
Present. Good morning.
Morning. Michael Covington. Steve Gooch.
Yep, I'm here.
Eddie Vasquez.
I'm here.
Morning, everyone. There's still a part of me that wants to be childish and repeat the name of anybody who's not present, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, like Ben Stein did a few years ago. Anytime someone doesn't show up. If anyone from the department joins the call after the public state their names, please feel free to state yours as well. But members of the public, will you to let us know who's on the line this morning?
Blake Heiner, Metro National Title.
I heard Blake. Someone else was calling in as well. Will you repeat your name?
Carol Yamamoto with Backman Title.
Morning, Blake and Carol.
And Matt Sager from First American Title.
I heard Matt Sager.
And Wade Taylor from Stewart Title.
Wade? Thank you.
David Moore from Capstone Title.
Thank you, David.
Mason Sprague with First American Title.
You know, I couldn't hear both of those. I heard someone from Southern Utah. Let's have you go first.
Joseph with Southern Utah Title.
Thank you, Joseph. And then who else?
Nathan Sprague with First American Title.
Thank you, Nathan.
Matt Ryden.
Thank you, Matt. Okay.
Jack Hope with NWest.
Thank you.
Who was that last one?
Was that Brett Cope?
Jack Hope.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Scott. Sorry. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Thank you, everyone. I know that's always a little awkward when we're running through a roll call blind. We will move right through into the adoption of the minutes from the previous meeting. Members of the commission, did you have a chance to review those minutes, and are there any suggested changes or corrections? And if not, I'll take a motion.
I'll move to approve the minutes. This is Phyllis.
And I'll second them, Chase.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the minutes by Allison, seconded by Nancy. All in favor?
I think that was Darla.
Darla. I did that last time. I get your voices mixed up. I'm so sorry. So we have a motion by Allison and seconded by Darla, correct?
No. Motion by Darla and seconded by Nancy.
Oh, I am just off this morning. Thank you. Okay. We have a motion by Darla, seconded by Nancy. All in favor?
Aye.
And the motion passes. Okay, we will move on and review the licenses reports, and we will turn the time over to Reed to present that.
Good morning, everyone. Today's report is short and sweet. I reviewed it, didn't see anything that raised a question in my mind, but so the department will just submit that to you for concurrence, unless you have any questions.
No questions from me, but I have like the tradition of acknowledging those that have been in the industry for a long time. And I noticed that Bruce Bartlett originally had his search and escrow license back in 82.
David Cope, too, from the 1980s. This is Allison. I'll make a motion to concur with the licensing report.
I'll second that. This is Darla.
Did we lose Chase?
Sounds like it.
Nancy, do you want to act as chair?
Well, chair, if that's okay with Steve, all in favor with concurrence of the license report, say aye.
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 Aye. I'm sure he'll be right back home.
Hi, everyone. I'm back on the call. I don't know if I dropped or if everyone dropped. Was I the only one who left?
You were the only one, and we finished that concurrence, Chase.
Thank you. I'm sorry, when I joined again, it was just silent, so I wasn't sure where that was, so my apologies if I cut in the middle of something there. Thank you for continuing on with that, and my apologies for whatever's happened with my phone line this morning. So if we finish that concurrence report, then I would suggest we move right into the ULPA report. Nancy, we'll turn the time over to you.
Does Perry have any board duties?
No, I don't have anything this month.
Okay.
There's nothing this month on board duties and responsibilities. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Perry.
When I met with the ULTA last month, the main thing discussed was the proposed changes to R-592. From that discussion, I received a letter this morning from the ULTA Executive Committee and have given that to Steve Gooch so that he has sent it out to all of us. And so rather than I report on that, that will be part of our discussion later on with Reed under new business. Other than that, I will meet again with them today at noon. Okay. I hope that's okay, Chase. I don't think there's a reason for me to talk about that now and then have it be part of the discussion later. Is that okay?
I completely agree. I absolutely agree, 100%. Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And if there's nothing further from the UTA, then we will move forward and have Darla report on the Real Estate Commission.
There's really nothing new to report with the Real Estate Commission outside of the change in their pending cases. They received 26 complaints in January, closed 27. There's still a remaining 457 cases pending and 9 with the AG's office.
Okay, thank you. And with that, we'll move on to the proposed amendment of R-592-6 that Nancy was just mentioning. The proposal or the changed language in the proposal was sent by Reed Stringham earlier, so everyone's on this call likely should have received a copy of it. And Reed, I'll turn the time over to you to introduce it, and then we can discuss it.
Thank you, Chase, and thanks to the commission for allowing me to take a stab at cleaning these two provisions up. I think the changes are fairly straightforward. In reading it this morning, I did find a couple of typos I need to fix, but other than that, what I tried to do was identify the sections that I had moved by highlighting, adding some information that's highlighted in yellow. So unfortunately, I couldn't exactly spoon feed it to you. You'd have to flip back and forth a little bit, but hopefully everybody was able to see that everything that was in the old two rules is included in the rule. It's just in a different position, basically. I really haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about this, so I don't know what reactions are. I think maybe the next best step would be for me to just be quiet and listen while other people make comments and see if they have any suggestions or any comments. And so I propose to do that.
Okay. Well, thank you. I think what I would probably want to say is Nancy, maybe I'll hand the discussion back to you to dive a little further, and then we'll take, I'd be happy to hear comments from anyone calling in from the public, or if there happens to be anybody on the call that was on the Legislative Committee for the ULTA that would want to help further explain some of what they're asking us to do. It sounds like they're asking us to do this or take a look at doing something along with what Reed is proposing here. So I'd love to understand where that idea is coming from and if everybody feels okay with it. So Nancy, I'll turn the time over to you if that's all right.
Thank you, Chase. Before I get into the response that we got from the ULTA, I did want to bring up one thing, Reed, and that is that line 36 talks about conducting a continuing education program. And this is not a change from the past, but I just wanted to make sure that does not prohibit something that more than one title company is doing, and that is that they do new agent training for real estate companies. And so that is not a continuing education program because it's something that they do for people who aren't licensed yet. So I just wanted to make sure that the DOI does not preclude that they can continue to do something that isn't continuing education, aside from this section in 36. And so you don't I don't know if we need to have a discussion at this point on that. I wouldn't think that that is changing, but that is something that has been brought to my attention, and I do believe they need to be able to continue to do their new agent programs. Aside from that, we did get a response back from John Ivins of the ULTA. Would you prefer I read it, or has everybody read it this morning? It doesn't matter to me.
I know that email came out late. I imagine most people maybe have had a chance, but just to make it part of record for the conversation, would you mind just reading that?
I'd be happy to. And partly, there would be probably several people on the call from the public that don't have this information, so that would be great. It's to the Title and Escrow Commission. You bet. It says, to whom it may concern, I'm sorry, regarding the ULTA comments on R-592-6 amendments. On behalf of the Utah Land Title Association, we thank you for the proactive examination of rules and statutes that govern the protection of consumers and the practice of fair business. The ULTA Legislative Committee has met to review the proposed amendments as they were provided to us. After discussion of the changes, the ULTA is very supportive of these adjustments, as they remove ambiguity and better align sections regarding what is not allowed and what is allowed in marketing. As the rule was further discussed, it was suggested that a process be established to allow for periodic review of the marketing limits and adjustments made based on inflation. The ULTA sent out a poll question to the membership body to collect further input. The response was not overwhelming, as only 20 companies provided response. Of the replies, 15 companies were in support of the periodic assessment, while 5 were not in favor. A copy of the poll question is included here for context. The purpose of this recommendation for assessment and potential increase would solely be for the purpose of accounting for inflation and the effect on the cost of doing business. For perspective, the average consumer price index increase over the last decade has been just under 2%. The consensus of the ULTA is that the integrity and objective of regulating unfair practices be the primary goal of the Title and Escrow Commission during any review of Rule R-592-6. Recommendation is given to implement this periodic review and appropriate adjustments while still achieving the intention of the rule as originally created. Thank you for your service and assistance in this industry. Respectfully, John Ivins, President, Utah Land Title Association. That is the first I've actually read that, Chase, so I actually will turn it over to you to conduct a discussion.
Thank you. The way I interpret this is that ULTA Legislative Commission is that they're agreeing with what you proposed to us, and I know that last month when we discussed this, what you proposed made sense in your explanation. I don't have the brightest legal mind in the industry, but what I've seen your proposals, the proposed language, you know, to me, it makes sense. It seems to do exactly what you said it was going to do, and I may not catch something that might be problematic in the future, but the way I see it, I'm okay with it as you presented it. I would want to know from any others if there are any concerns. In the letter you just read, they know that the ULTA is supportive of those changes as well, and is wanting us to also look at adding the idea of being able to increase some of the fees that are listed in this rule to be, I guess, I wouldn't say automatically, but to be automatically reviewed more often than they are now. My understanding is that the only time we have the opportunity to increase any of these fees is when there's cause for this rule to come up for review, which would be every 5 years, my current understanding. And so if inflation increases, and I know that that's a real fear, actually, at the moment, faster than you know, our five-year period of getting together, it could unreasonably restrict us from just a simple meal. You know, part of what would be normal business that really wouldn't be unfair or an inducement. I should say an unfair inducement. So I actually appreciate the idea, but I will say that my concern is, you know, Allison, I know you mentioned this last month, and so did I, that what we were looking at by accepting this language from you, Reed, we were nervous that this was going to transfer over into other, making other parts of the rule come up for debate or review, and we didn't really want to take that on. So I guess I just want to make sure that, you know, the ULCA represents a portion of the industry. And I would like to know from anybody else who has any other, well, anybody else from the public maybe that has any other thoughts or isn't a part of ULCA, I would like to hear some other ideas or insights or questions. So I'm not 100% certain that we want to take this on at the moment, although I will say what the ULCA is suggesting, it does make sense, and it sure seems like a reasonable request to put in place. So,
Chase, this is Allison.
Is there anyone from the public that would like a chance to speak?
Chase, this is Allison. Could I just share just my thoughts briefly?
Please.
So I would say that I appreciate the ULPA's comments as well. And I appreciate the work that Reed's done, and what Reed's presented, I'm inclined to support, but I'm not inclined to go much further past this right now. Just in light of the fact that there wasn't much interest from the ULCA going to go much further than this. So for a couple of reasons, you know, if the CPI has only increased 2%, in 10 years, and we review these every 5 years, then I'm okay to, you know, see what happens in 5 years, just knowing that there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, if we had, you know, 100 title companies beating down our door to look at this, then that would be a different story. But I think right now, there's not a whole bunch of, even John said, or to use John's words, underwhelming. I think right now we have, again, like I said last month, a pretty good rule that everybody can agree on right now where we're at. And so I'm inclined to go with the parameters that Reed set right now, but I'm really not interested in opening it up much further beyond what Reed set. And this, so that's my feeling.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. One question I might have, and I'm not sure who actually we addressed this to. I would assume that this almost, Harry, this question might be for you, but the question would be if we did decide to take that on and try to set something up that says the Title and Escrow Commission will, say, every 2 years look at inflation and do we need to increase any of our allow fees for that. You know, how once those of us that are on the commission now that have been in the discussion on how to do that, what would the process be for setting something like that up so that it would continue to happen and future commission members would understand what they're supposed to do and why?
Right, Chase,
go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, and I'm wondering out loud if, you know, just thinking out loud, I'm not sure that that is something that is appropriate in a rule. You know, the five-year review is really just to review to make sure the rule is still relevant. You can always look at the rule anytime. There's no, you know, limit. You know, you could enact this rule, these changes, you know, today, and then you could reopen it tomorrow if you wanted. There's no, you know, there's nothing saying you can't look at the rule more frequently. So I'm not really sure how putting, you know, a two-year review in a rule, I'm not sure how rulemaking would like that.
Okay.
And Reed, do you have any experience on that?
Thanks, Perry. I have a couple of thoughts. First, I think the commission is looking at two separate questions right now. The first one is, does it want to approve the rule as it's proposed, the rule changes as it's proposed? And I'd hate to see that get hijacked by this sort of new issue of, well, do we want to have this process in place for periodic review of all rules? It seems to me there are two separate questions. So I would like to see the commission address the rule that's before the commission first before addressing the other matter. But as to that other matter, I can tell you that some of you may know that there's a statutory limit on on the amount of recovery that a person whose government can get. It's called a statutory cap on damages. And the statute in Utah provides that every year it will be adjusted according to inflation. So every year the Division of Risk Management is essentially the liability carrier for the state max rule that changes the cap. If the commission wanted to make a periodic change to certain amounts, it could certainly do that by enacting a statute that's very similar to what is now in place involving the cap on damages. So it's possible to do, I guess, is what I'm saying, if that's something that the commission would like to do.
Okay, thank you very much. So I agree with you that this conversation has turned into, I feel like it's two questions, two subjects. And so here's what I'm thinking. I appreciate the fact that other people in the industry have at least given us something to consider and are looking at something that could be beneficial, right? A beneficial change. So I don't want to be dismissive of what the ULCA has asked us or proposed in their letter back to us. But it sounds to me like if that's something we want to do, it sounds like that could be requested of the title and escrow commission at any time. And that might be the easier way to look at this or address it. If the industry feels like the restrictions are unfair or unreasonable, then I would say that at that time the industry, we probably ought to look at it on it as an individual question. And so I don't think that I'm inclined this morning to try and bring any other changes into the rules as currently proposed, but I would say that if that's something that is important to the ULCA, I would like to ask that that be maybe requested of this body that we look at that specific change under an additional proposed amendment or brought about separately from what Reed has brought to us to review and vote on today. So I think knowing that we can open this rule at any time, it comes up every 5 years at a minimum automatically, and that's the mechanism that I feel like is in place for us to to not let it just go too long and become a real problem. Knowing that we have the option to review that at any time, I feel like that's already in place. It's just a matter of whether or not we feel like the current restrictions on those things that we can pay for, if that's already unreasonable or not, or whether we should increase that by a small percentage to keep up with inflation. So I might ask that we have that brought back up on the next agenda if that's something that is important and the ULTA wants to pursue. I would probably have you make that request of us separate from what Reed is proposing here. And so I'll ask one final time, is there any other comment or question or request for changes on the current rule as proposed from anyone on the commission or anyone in the public?
Chase, this is
Mr.
Nancy. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Nancy.
Nancy, let's have you.
Before we close, I do want to make sure that even though it's not new, that the Department of Insurance is back on line 36 talking about continuing education, that title companies can do that. If we could talk about that first.
Yeah, thank you. I actually had a little note I read here to make sure that you got your answer to that, because I thought I didn't hear your answer. So can we, before whomever else that was wanted to make their comments, Reed, can you speak to that? Can you answer Nancy's question? And I know we've talked about a lot of other things, so if you need her to repeat it, she will. But on line 36, is our ability as an industry to do new agent training still allowable under the current continuing education program?
Well, as I read it, CE means you're doing it for credit, and it sounded like from what Nancy said, they're not doing it for credit. But we could easily make a fix if Nancy is at all concerned by just saying that 36 doesn't apply to in-house new agent training, and that's an easy add and an easy fix.
Okay.
If that's what
I think that would be great, or even simpler, but maybe it doesn't suffice. Even if you were use the word if conducting a continuing education program, possibly, meaning I think title agents are very smart as to what is continuing education and what isn't, and their clients want continuing education. But we just didn't want to preclude that there are these pre-licensing classes that it wouldn't make sense that they would have to go through the process of making it continuing education for people who aren't licensed. So it's not new. You didn't make a change to this section. I just wanted to point it out to make sure that the Department of Insurance did not have any problem with that, knowing that there are other courses being put up, being presented out there that are not continuing education.
The department doesn't have a concern about that, and if that's sufficient for the commission, then I say we just leave it. But otherwise, we can make the change that you've suggested, Nancy.
If you don't have a concern and nothing is going to change with this, I would say let's leave it as is. And that goes back to our discussion last month that we wanted to open this rule solely for the changes that you presented and to speak to the points that Allison and Chase have made. I do appreciate that after being asked, the ULTA really discussed and you know, supported our need for feedback. I also feel like I would approve this bill, or approve this, sorry, it's in the legislature, approve this rule based on what you have presented, Reed, and do not feel we need to open it up for any more at this time. So thank you. Thank you for your clarification.
Excellent point, Nancy. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy, and thank you again for the clarification, Reed. There was someone else who was wishing to make a comment. I'll turn the time over to you, whoever that was.
Perfect. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is Jeff Weiner with Old Republic. Good morning.
Morning.
The only comment that I just wanted to add to the discussion is, you know, underwriters are currently refiling rate manuals due April 1st. And so as we can just tell from this discussion today and over the past few weeks, this rule being opened always generates discussions. I think it'll continue to generate discussions. Any change will generate new questions for the department and for us as underwriters. My only concern is that's just a lot to bite off at this time. I anticipate that once these new rates are filed or just, you know, justifications to the current rate, that's going to take the department some time, and then you add on perhaps additional questions being driven at the department, even with the simple, you know, maybe just clarification rule change that can, you know, obviously there's already been questions generated today. So that's my only concern, is that's just a lot to bite off at this time. And I don't know that a change is dire today. It's clarification, and perhaps this is something we punt to farther down the road. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, appreciate the comments. And that's insightful. I mean, ultimately, I can't speak for the department and your ability or manpower to accomplish all this, but is that any concern of the department to be able to take this rule change and put it into effect internally along with the review of upcoming rate filings?
This is Reed. I don't see that it would be any problem. The rule is already to go. All we have to do is now, I think, is file it with the rules committee, and then we'll be set. It's also important, I think, for us to have these clarifications in place, because as I mentioned at the last meeting, we have had some questions come up about how to interpret this rule in our investigations, and we ended up dropping an investigation just because of the confusion in the rule. So I would like to see us move forward on both fronts, and I don't have any concerns about the department being able to do that.
Thank you.
Yes, and Chase, this is Terry. I just want to clarify, you know, the rulemaking takes some time. So just if you approve it today, the rule will not be enacted today. You know, it still has to go through the process.
Well, now, that was actually going to be my next question is, you know, I've not followed this well enough in my career to know offhand what exactly comes next once we take a vote on this, if we approve it. And then also I suspect Jeff is also talking about if we approve this rule, because there are other questions, you know, if we continue to make additional changes and additional questions and additional requests of the department, I could see where that could snowball into something that it shouldn't. But as is, I appreciate Reed letting us know that this won't cause an issue with everything else that's going on within the department. So Perry, just enlighten me if you would. Tell me, give me the timeline on what and the steps that happen next. And I'm sorry, this is something I don't already know, but.
Well, and maybe Steve Gooch is better to answer this question, but we have to file it with the Rules Committee. It's published in their bulletin, and that only comes out twice a month. And I forget the exact timeline. Steve, could you maybe help on that?
Yeah, so we can when we file a rule, it's published on the 1st and the 15th of every month. So potentially, if we were to do it, I could file it before the 15th. And then there's a 30-day comment period. and then another, So I file it on the 15th, and then there's, I believe, a 15-day period before it's actually published in the bulletin. Then there's a 30-day comment period, and then 7 days for us to respond to comments. So I don't know specifically the day that it would be first possible to be made effective, but I think it would be probably early May, maybe late April. I don't recall correctly, or right offhand. But there's plenty of time, basically.
Thank you. I appreciate the education there. Okay, I think if at this point, if there's no other comments or questions or suggested corrections,
Dave,
I'll offer one last time for comments. Yes, go ahead.
David Moore, just a structural comment for Reed. Item 28 deals with open houses, and 29, 30, and 31 also deal with open houses. I would suggest that maybe 29, 30, and 31 be subparagraphs A, B, and C, because they all deal with the same open house situation, just to clarify what we're dealing with on 29, 30, and 31.
Thank you, David. That's a great idea.
David, I read right through that. I appreciate that. I agree with that. So 29, 30, and 31 become A, B, and C, subparagraphs of paragraph 28. The remaining paragraphs would become renumbered as appropriate below that, as I understand. Is that correct, Reed?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Okay. And, Dave, I appreciate you using the probably the more appropriate terminology there, structural changes. You know, that's what I was, I'm curious if anybody else sees anything else there to the structure of the way this is written, if there's any other changes that would be suggested. And I know that this is certainly, there was quite a significant amount changed, and so Reed, I appreciate your work on this and your efforts to go back and clarify this rule. I know that took a lot, and we appreciate it. With that, I think that I'll ask the commission, are we all ready for a vote on this? And if so, would someone like to make a motion? I'll go ahead, Nancy.
I was just going to say, I was going to ask Reed, is this a motion to concur with the proposed changes to the amendment? Is that the correct motion?
Well, Perry can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's the commission who really spearheads the rule changes, and so maybe the motion would be to have the department submit this to the Rules Committee for adoption.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. So under the statute, it is, so title rules are from the commission, so the commission may make the rules.
Okay. So with that, I will make the motion. Oh, go ahead, Chase. You tell me what you want the motion to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking that we should have a motion for approval to submit this rule with the changes as proposed by Reed, including the changes to paragraph 28 that are not in writing here in front of us. And I guess, Reed, would that be sufficient for you?
Yes.
That what I was confused on is you know, we have something in writing here in front of us, but we have just altered it slightly. So I would want the motion be for approval to submit it to the Rules Committee as proposed, including the changes to paragraph 28,
29, 30,
and 31.
Exactly as said. that is my motion, or...
Thank you.
Steve, you can do it like that.
Will do.
This is Darla. I'll second the motion.
Okay. Motion by Nancy and seconded by Darla. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Did we have any opposed? This is Steve, by the way.
Oh, are there any opposed? No.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all for the discussion, the insight on that. And back to my agenda here. And with that, we'll move on to the other business. And we'll pass the time over to Adam to remind us and anything else that you would want to tell us about the annual reports coming up.
Thanks, Chase. Yes, annual reports are due each year, April 30th. And keep in mind, if you're licensed any time from 2020 back, you have to file an annual report. Last year, we restructured the form where it's basically one and a half pages. You don't have to produce all the financials like you had to in the past. Just answer the simple questions, and mainly what we need to know is what your annual premium was written for in 2020. But I would appreciate it if you guys would just go ahead and file all those now. You don't have to wait till April 30th. As Jeff was talking about, the rates are going to have to be reviewed, and I'm going to be reviewing those, so I would appreciate if you would get your annual reports filed as soon as possible, because all you really need is your branch offices and your annual premium for 2020. And that's found on our website. You can download that form, and then you would attach it to our secure forms, and then I will record it there. So if you guys would refile those as soon as possible, I would appreciate it. That's all, Chase.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate that. And a wonderful reminder that this year it would be very, very beneficial to have them filed earlier. And with that, we'll pass the time over to Steve to discuss openings coming up on the Title and Escrow Commission.
Thanks, Chase. So we have three Title and Escrow Commission members who will be completing their terms in June, and those are Nancy, Allison, and Randy. So we need to find replacements for them pretty quick. Those will be an insurer, an agency, and a general public member. We have a new application process at the state level. I don't know it yet. I'm hoping to meet with the boards and commissions person sometime this week or next week. I don't know a whole lot about it, other than they have a new website. I suspect there will be uploading of a CV or a resume. So if you have one of those, that's great. But I also don't want to hold up the process until I know what's going on. So if anyone's interested, you can send me an email, ideally with that resume or CV, so I can upload it as necessary, or at least I can start a list of people who are interested so I can reach out when that process is a little bit better known. My email, if anyone wants to apply, is sgooch@utah.gov, and that first spelling is S G-O-O-C-H, and then Utah is spelled out, .gov. Please feel free to tell any of your colleagues or friends or relatives that might want to be on the board, especially for the general public slot, because we tend to have some difficulty finding that person. So please feel free to recommend. They can email me all they want, and we'll get some people picked. And that's it.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
Steve, do you want to plug from us that serve on the board to for people to apply to fill our spot?
Sure.
here on the call, or do you want to like start advertising?
Well, I was just going to say I'll plug this in two different ways. So this is Allison. I've actually really enjoyed serving on the board. It's opened my eyes in a couple of different ways. I always say this. I come from a small title company, and so it's nice to get different perspectives in a lot of different ways. And so I really enjoyed it. I also had the opportunity, if you guys can believe this, to serve on the funeral board as the at-large member, and that also opened my eyes in a lot of different ways. So if you have friends or family that you'd like to make aware of the title industry, encourage them to apply for our board, because it helps to educate people who don't know a lot about our industry. So point people our way, because it helps spread the word about our industry otherwise. So that's my plug.
This is Nancy. I agree with Allison, especially also what we've had to learn during COVID. It's very different doing these commission meetings without seeing the public, without seeing the department, and seeing each other face to face. It's been a really unique experience. But I do have a question for Steve. I know Allison and I, our terms were 4 years. Are these three new positions also going to be 4 year, or are they going to be 2 year positions?
They are all 4 years. So we ended up doing that 1 2-year slot a few years ago, just because the boards and commissions office wanted to stagger how we do these, so we didn't have to swap out the whole commission at once. So we will have you three this time, and then in 2023 we'll switch out Chase and Darla, and then just go on that cycle. And
thank you for that.
Yeah, and let me do one other thing too. I didn't mention it earlier. So these spots are appointed by the governor with the consent of the Senate. So we do have to allow a little bit of time for that. So I'm thinking if we can get people to apply by maybe April 15th, that hopefully should give us some time to make all of that happen for July 30th. And I'll get something up on the website as well, so we've got it there, too.
Darla, I really hope I get to meet you in person.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I was just thinking. Like, this would be awesome.
Well, thank you for the additional comments there. The body, the commission, it's important. We serve an important role. There need to be stewards that continue on and maintain the rules that are in effect and in place. And so those of you that are agency owners on this call, honestly, it might be a good time to even approach some of your own rising stars within your own organization, if they're wanting another feather in their cap, so to speak. It's something that's interesting to do, and that's another perspective on it. Is that it could be a helpful resume builder. So if that also appeals to anyone out there, it is something that we need. And so I hope that we get several resumes to. Qualified resumes for the department to choose from.
or reports, sorry, not the department, the governor's office. I'll ask if there are any hot topics, items that need to be, either any questions for today's meeting or any items that need to be, that would like to be requested to be put on next month's agenda. Anything anybody would like to discuss? And if not, then we'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting. Our next meeting will be April 19th. It will likely be over the phone. If for some reason that changes sooner and we're able to get back together in person, then we'll be in the copper room, but I would expect that we'll be calling in over the phone again next month, April 19th. And with that, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
This is Allison, so moved.
This is Darla, I'll second.
Thank you, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously and we are adjourned.
Thank you all.
Thanks everyone.
Hey, good talking to everyone. See ya.
Thanks, appreciate it.